Are you out of your minds? Are you all out of your mind? Your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think that violence is a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Hey everybody, it's a crab diving hump day here, Wednesday, March 11th, 2015. We are coming at you live. If it's a little bit after 2 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, if it's a little bit after 5 p.m. out of the Eastern Coast, that is, we're live. If it ain't that time, you're listening to us as a rerun or as maybe a podcast, which you have obtained at crabdiving.com or at iTunes or on Stitcher. And we thank you, either way, for granting us access to the holes on the sides of your head. Unless you're, you know, you've got something where you look like a Dolly painting. We apologize for that. My name is Patrick Vile.
My name is Ryan Pfeiffer. Hola, hola, hola. Hello from the Redneck Riviera.
That's right. Back to all the good technology. You sound great. Sounds like you're right here in the room.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm going back in a couple of days. I guess I could just stay here.
You're flying again soon, right?
Yeah.
That should be fun.
Oh, that's going to be the best. I love flying. You know, traveling, it really brings out the best in people. White people waiting in line at TSA at the airports, that is the sight of some shitty behavior.
What is, do you have a horrendous layover or is it pretty smooth this time?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. I don't think anything will be horrendous if I can help it. No, if I have anything to say about it.
Not like 11 hours in Dallas or anything.
No,
like
oh my God.
You could stop by and say hi to Rick Perry who has decided to add his tongue to the 47 that there are 46 that are they're licking Tom Cotton's young fresh bunghole in the
Senate. Tell you that Tom Cotton is just an asshole, man. I saw him I saw a clip of him Megyn Kelly talking to him on Fox. Jesus Christ, I mean that is not news. Fox is not news. Okay,
did you see how Fox the Daily Show did a great piece on it. I don't know who they're going to get. Jon Stewart's is so good. The Daily Show did a segment about the Selma coverage, and you were even live tweeting. Go to Crab Diving Twitter, which is at Crab Diving.
Yes,
about the coverage that was on the Fox.
Yes, the non-coverage
of the Selma march and everything. And it was the non-coverage, but the little bit that they did have, Jon Stewart played some clips about it, but it was all about, like, somehow they turned it into white victimization.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then I saw a meme one of the writer wing humans in my timeline posted that had a picture of the march, in Selma with Dr. King there and the sea of people arm in arm, American flags everywhere. And then on the bottom was the current picture of the Muslim in chief, hand in hand,
Hussein,
arm in arm with
Benghazi,
the people in the picture,
yes,
the famous picture that they took there, and It says 50 years later, main difference, no flags.
No, my God.
They're all upset, panties in a knot, because back in the 60s, in the march, there were a significant number of protesters carrying big, giant American flags.
So why didn't they do it this time? And why are we so unpatriotic now?
Exactly. Exactly. Obviously, Barack Hussein Obama has cast his Muslim spell on the nation and has made us less patriotic.
Right. Why don't you do something patriotic like sending a letter to Iran undermining our commander-in-chief?
Right. That's what was happening at that moment. That's where those fuckers were. They were off scribbling that. They were fighting over the crayons to see who was going to write the screed to the imams over in Iran. And by the other day we were talking, it's really funny, we were talking about how, who do they think they're writing to? Because all of those fuckers over there have degrees from like Oxford and Cambridge and Yale.
Yes.
And just the fact that they're now the Ayatollah shitbag Maney doesn't mean that they grew up in a tent in the middle of the desert.
I feel
their
like
legs these, crossed their whole life.
Yeah. These right wing nut jobs. They picture these Iranis, I think, driving around in a truck with like a surface to air missile rocket launcher on the back. Yeah, exactly that. They all got robes on. They're living in tents.
Did you read that letter at all? Did you see the opening fucking paragraph? Is so embarrassingly condescending. It's like, you know, we're just trying to let you. You may not understand how our Constitution works over here in America.
Let me school ya.
And then they go on to say that, you know, the president, this president's going to be out in 2 years, and every subsequent president can only be in there for 8 years, but senators can be in there for as long as they want. It's like, you know, this president may like you, the next one may like you, but eventually we're going to fuck you.
Yeah, there's going to be maybe not in the next 4 years or maybe not in the next 8 years, maybe not even the next 12 years. In 16 years, there's probably going to be a Republican president. And boy, are they going to be upset with you.
After all the Fox demographic dies.
That's like saying, you just wait until your mother gets home and your mother left you.
Well,
like,
it's
the family.
Such an embarrassment. I mean, and it's completely backfired because fucking 47 traitors is still trending.
God.
On the Twitter. Follow us on the Twitter. Tweet us during the show at Crab Diving. We check it every once in a while. If it's funny, we'll read it. If it's nasty to us.
Who do you think? Has anyone discussed
read it especially?
Has anyone discussed the origin of that letter? Was it Tom Cotton that thought of it?
I guess he's the one who. Well, I'm sure he didn't. He wasn't sitting there watching Mayberry RFD one afternoon and thought, "God damn, I better pen a letter to
Mayberry,
those Muzzies."
Wait, I'm sorry, Mayberry RFD.
Yes.
What is that?
You don't know what Mayberry RFD is? That was the sequel to the Andy Griffith Show. Do you remember after Andy left, there was there was a new sheriff.
Oh, shit. I had no idea.
And even Aunt Bee, you know, she stuck around for the cash. Otis, of course, the creepy barber.
Who
wouldn't let within 20 feet of your kids right now. Mm. Yes. Ooh, let me chop the boy's hair. Mm. Yes.
Right.
But it was, called Mayberry RFD. It was the later sequel after the Andy Griffith Show went bye-bye. They couldn't call it the Andy Griffith Show anymore because he, you know, left.
Wow.
And
that's scary. That's crazy.
Mayberry RFD, kids. Right. There you go.
Oh, my God. A Rural Free Delivery. That's what it stands for.
A little television history from 1968 to 1971.
Oh, my God.
And for four seasons. Three seasons?
Yeah.
4 seasons?
Oh, and guess who was an executive producer on that motherfucker?
Well, of course.
I'm getting paid, Opie.
Ken Berry
right?
was the lead. Frances Bavier, that's Aunt B, raking in some cash in her later years. Good for her. Yeah. George Lindsay, that's Goober.
Wow.
Not Gomer. Gomer was busy. He was off. Yeah. He was off. He's got to sing the national anthem at the. At
oh,
the fucking,
and he ran for president. Didn't Gomer. Oh, no, no, no. I'm getting him mixed up with another lovable sitcom star that went on to. It was from the Dukes of Hazzard that went on to be a senator, I believe.
Wait, what, wait, who?
Wait, wait. I'm sorry. I got my redneck simpletons in.
Oh, no, wait. He did run for something, didn't he? He was Wopat, right?
Right. No, no. I'm confusing the whole show today. I'm getting my redneck simpleton co-stars in television mixed up. Well, Jim Nabors, happen. Who you were referring to, was a crooner and a pop star and everything.
Still with us, by the way. Still alive.
Wow, really?
Really? He sings the national anthem at, I want to say, some big event, like the Indy 500 or the or some big horsey race or something like that. He's like been singing the national anthem for 30 or 40 years at this event, and I think it was a big deal this last year. He finally fucking retired. You know, he went and got married to his longtime boyfriend.
Oh, good for him.
In Hawaii. He's been living in Hawaii with his boyfriend. I can't believe he's living off that Mayberry money. Because
he cannot be living off that Mayberry money. That show is in black and white.
But apparently he's done well enough to live in fucking Hawaii and have a good time. And they fly his ass up to Indianapolis or the horsey thing or whatever the fuck he does.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sings the national anthem and that's it. Or I'm thinking it's the horse thing. Cause now I think he sings,
the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Now I think he sings that, that famous song from the Kentucky Derby. Maybe. It is.
No, Dukes of Hazzard, Cooter, the guy that played Cooter went on to be a senator, I believe.
Come on.
I was getting Cooter mixed
that's
up
George
with
Lindsay
or Gomer. Is it really?
Isn't it Hold really? On. Oh God, ladies and gentlemen!
George, was George Lindsay in Dukes of Hazzard? Hold on a second. No, he was not. The guy I'm talking about, Cooter.
Oh yeah, you're thinking Cooter from Dukes of Hazzard was.
I'm getting my white guys.
Was the young deputy the sheriff under sheriff?
Ben Jones.
Ben Dover?
That's who I was thinking of. Ben Jones.
He went on to some kind of a career. You're saying. Anyway, right. How the hell did we end up in
Who gives
Mayberry?
A shit? Oh, I'm so frustrated with myself. I don't know why we got off on that. Who cares? No one in the audience gives two shits.
I threw Mayberry RFD out there, a television show from 1968. So, I dragged us back into ancient TV history for a few minutes. Here on the Crab Divey Show. We're all over the social media. Find us, love us, share the crabs. Lots of activity. We appreciate all the participation going on, all the fights and everything. I'm exhausted from that idiot on our page.
Randy?
God, it's just, I just can't anymore. It's just exhausting. There's a famous meme that just says it all about, like, Randy is arguing with somebody with, like, Randy is, like, playing chess with a pigeon. It's just going to strut around, knock over all the pieces, and then claim it won.
I like when Randy, that's a good one, Randy addresses us. He said, listen, CD.
Right. And he can't get it in his head. I told him a few times that there's more than one of us, but he can't get through. He can't get that through his head. His little tiny little Obama hating head.
Barack Hussein Obama. Ding, 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 ding.
Check out here on this lovely hump day. It's actually a little gray here in Los Angeles, California. A little chilly. It's getting a little cooler. Obviously, that fat fuck Al Gore was wrong.
He's a liar.
So here is Miss Palin. Ms. Palin. to take us into the news.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
She's been really quiet, Sarah Palin, by the way, I might add. I mean, kind of. She's really apparently angry that nobody's taking her remotely seriously.
Yes.
For
she's
any,
sad.
Yeah, you know, she mentioned she stuck her Wasilla Billy nose in a little bit, saying, you know, oh, well, you know, maybe... I should maybe consider it or something like that. And everybody was like, everyone's like, just what you did.
She should run. I don't know why she wouldn't. It's not like anyone else on the Republican side looked particularly, you know, uninsane.
Well, it costs money. And I don't know if enough people are subscribing to that ridiculous fucking TV show of hers, or that internet station. Sarah Palin TV dumb.
Yeah, that's it. I listen every day. I watch it.
Well, you won't find much content. Remember that story? She's fleecing people. She's hardly putting shit out.
What an asshole. Just put a 2-minute video out every day. What's the big deal, Sarah? You can have track edit it for you. Put a star wipe on it. It'll be hilarious.
Edwin McCain. What's his name? Herman Cain.
Yeah.
Not the country/blues singer Edwin McCain. Herman Cain was is doing the same thing, probably equally as nutty, the writing and stuff, but he's, you know, churning out content, so at least kudos to Herman Cain TV. Two of those things you can subscribe to. You can drop 20 bucks a month on those two idiots.
Why do they think they're the least bit entertaining? Either one of those.
I think Herman Cain is probably a little entertaining. You know, some of the shit that he puts out is actually kind of funny. I mean, he's got batshit crazy, but at least he's kind of a little bit of a showman. She just figures all she has to do is turn on the webcam and sit there and spew forth some word shit salad, and that the people are going to lap it up and love it. But even her hardcore We Love Sarah people are like, you know, I don't know.
I'm naturally interesting. I was prom queen, and I was in pageants. She was in beauty pageants and shit. And then now she was, you know, a heartbeat away had McCain got elected.
Hey, she ran Wasilla.
Right.
She was the mayor of Wasilla.
They got a Walmart there.
They do.
My brother goes to Wasilla all the time. They got a Walmart. They got a grocery store. I think they even got themselves a Starbucks.
That's the giant metropolis that's near where he is in Talkeetna, right, Alaska?
Right. They have a Hard Rock Cafe there. I'm kidding.
Is the mayor still alive? Is that cat still alive?
Mayor Stubbs is, in fact, alive.
Damn. It was at least a year ago, right, that he was viciously attacked in
by a dog.
Yeah, an assassination attempt by a member of the canine ISIS.
You know, when that happened, initially the town had to be calmed because they wanted to go out and get the dog.
They were going to lynch the hound dog.
Yeah.
But cooler heads prevailed up in Talkeetna.
The problem is, man, you know, if you're going to have an outside cat, I feel like those are the risks you take. I'm not saying anyone deserves to get mauled by a dog walking around, but I mean, Jesus, if you're worried about that, then keep the cat indoors, you know?
Right.
There's a bunch of wild animals walking around out there in Alaska. The mayor's stub should be an indoor kitty. Enough said.
Yeah, it's a little different than letting your cat, you know, run around Burbank.
Right.
Not a lot of grizzlies or polar bears running around.
No, but in Burbank, there are a lot of assholes out there, so that's scary.
Different kind of bears in Burbank.
Oh, yes.
I think they have an app for that.
All right.
The headline over on the Commie Pinko Liberal.
Effete.
Huffington Post. There's a picture of, we saw his face quite frequently during the whole Ferguson saga. The frequently bewildered looking and often saying stupid shit kind of stuff. Top police human in the Ferguson Police Department, Police Chief Thomas Jackson. You'll recall.
Goodbye, asshole.
Oh, yeah. He will resign.
Sad. It's a sad day for racists, right?
He is the sixth and, according to the HuffPo, the most high-profile Ferguson City employee to resign following the release of evil Eric Holder of his Justice Department report.
I mean, what are we supposed to do with these people? Of course they're resigning. A report came out from the Justice Department saying that, I don't know, the police are just a bunch of racists and they pull over black people and try to lay on as many citations as they can and shake them down for cash.
His resignation letter was published and he says he's stepping down with profound sadness.
Oh, fuck off.
And he, quote, hopes to continue to assist the city in any way I can in my capacity as a private citizen. Right. Yeah, you can't wait to help all those black people, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure you were sitting around at the family with the Rush Limbaugh in the background as you're eating your steak and potatoes saying, God, I'm going to resign, Mildred, but I wonder how I'm going to be able to help the brown people.
Does he get a parachute? Does this guy get money? I mean, you know.
I wonder
if he gets his... I bet he gets his pension. He's a cop, right?
And they know shit. You know, I mean, somebody that high up, it could have been one of these deals where he's like, you know, I believe I will accept my retirement as long as I keep my mouth shut on what I know about this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, he could be like, hey, Mr. Governor, I have a tape of the meeting we had.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, well, what more could be said about them? So, I mean, what more skeletons could come out? I mean, they're already, no one, I mean, what, they're more shitty than they used to be?
Well, and who was shocked?
Yeah.
Who was shocked when the Department of Justice came out with its report that the Ferguson Police Department and municipality was riddled with racism and profiling and shenanigans and ass-tastic dirtbaggery? Nobody's surprised.
Yeah. I mean, do you think this was the only police department in the country that deals with this sort of thing? Do you think there are other cops out there with similar problems?
Let me take you on a tour of the far south side of Chicago, Ryan.
Okay. Well, look, a bunch of bigots with badges.
Certain
sections of the
city.
Hey, let's go shoot some black people.
Exactly.
Let's shake them down for some citations.
Well, that guy that just got caught, I don't even know what... I think it was down south, but not in Illinois. I mean, in down south, United States of America. Remember, we did the story a couple days ago. Go to crabdiving.com for previous episodes of this great, wonderful lump of coal that we turn into a diamond for you every fucking day.
Oh, yes.
We were talking about... See, I go into a promo and I forget what I'm talking about.
Oh, we were talking about Ferguson.
Yeah, Ferguson, we talked about a couple days ago. I don't remember. You know, there's racists everywhere, shitbags.
Oh, yeah. Bags. Tons.
And assholes. We do have a follow-up a little bit to rapping N-word granny.
Follow-up crab diving.
From the University of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
From the frat, the former now, frat chapter... I don't know, jerk off Sigma asshole on or whatever. I don't know.
SAE, Sigma Alpha Epsilon?
Yeah.
Sigma Who cares?
Alpha Epsilon.
Bunch of jerks.
Well, she's now horrified that this Vine has come out where she's drunk off her asshole and going, N-word, 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 N-word.
Is she pissed off?
Oh, she's horrified. She's the farthest thing from a racist, Ryan. she doesn't accept any kind of bigotry or anything for in her life or her private life or anything. She didn't use the eye of black friends, but she came damn close.
Oh, God, why not? Listen, she should have pulled that out. And also, did she reference Jesus?
I don't know that she did.
That's usually
I don't remember
a go-to.
It being really Jesus-tastic, yeah.
As a Christian, I don't see race. I only see human beings. Hashtag bullshit.
She's claiming that all she was doing was singing along.
Oh, yes.
With these rap lyrics, you know. And unless, I mean, I didn't listen to the whole song.
Right.
But there was somebody on our Facebook, go to Crab Diving page on Facebook, who commented on that link about basically blaming rap music and saying, well, you know, if these black people are going around and they get to throw the N-word out in music like that, you can't go after this old white broad for just, you know, mimicking the lyrics.
Yeah.
That you should go up to the rappers and make them stop using that horrific word in their lyrics.
Hey, she wasn't just singing along. I love that. I was just singing along.
Well, right. And when this person responded that way on our Facebook, I went to find the lyrics to that song and I read through them. And unless there's something that ain't printed in the lyrics, some section where they burst into a rousing 16 N words in a row.
Right.
That ain't it. Now it's there and there a lot. It's in there a fuck of a lot. It's something, something N word, you N word, this and this and this and N word. Yeah. But it's in the context.
And yes. And she knew she was being recorded.
Right. And she she was making fun of it. Like going, N-word, 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 N-word. Listen to the black person saying the N-word. You know what I mean?
Don't people, I mean, it's being recorded. Isn't she at all nervous? You know that, like, all you got to do is press a button and it could be a Vine
drunk,
or on Facebook
drunk,
or tweet it.
Drunk off her ass.
Ah, man, what's she drinking?
Or high, who knows? Maybe they got Granny high. Maybe,
right.
Maybe Granny likes the ganja. I don't know how easy it is to get weed in Oklahoma.
No. These are drunks. That's a total drunk move.
So that's the follow-up there. She's horrified that the world could even remotely think that she's a racist.
I think she's wrong in her reaction to this. I think she should come out and say it's her right to say it. She's proud she said it. And she'll be a hero to other stupid racist white people. I mean, that is a demographic.
Well,
right.
I've seen some comments out there, people who were saying, well, you know, what about First Amendment?
Nobody says she can say it as much as she fucking wants.
First Amendment. That, you know, these students are being expelled. How dare you expel them for just expressing their First Amendment right? It might not be nice. It might not be pretty, but we can't stop them from saying it.
Oh my God.
And no one is stopping them, but again, they want to be free of consequence.
Yeah, no one's saying you can't say these, but right. If you do, I mean,
run down the street screaming the N-word. Go ahead. Nobody's going to stop you legally.
Right. And if you're representing a group, like if you're representing the frat, I mean, there's no law saying that it's your right to be in a fraternity.
And right, and when you sign on to join a university, you absolutely agree to the standards of conduct that the university lays out.
Yeah, you don't have to work for them, or you don't have to go to that college or be in that frat. You can say the N-word all day on Vine if you want. You just maybe can't do anything with SAE or what was this, Mississippi University or University of Mississippi or something?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Oh, God. I'm so sorry, white people. I'm getting you all mixed up.
Y'all look the same. Heading over to the Drudge Report,
The Grudge.
Yeah.
Of course, there's nothing more exciting to them right now than
email.
A copy of the headline from the New York Post. It says, Deleter of the Free World. Get it? Deleter.
We get it.
Hillary reveals she erased 30,000 emails.
You know what Michael Steele said on MSNBC? He's like, well, why is she deciding what's personal and what's not personal? Why doesn't she just turn over the whole server and let a group of people comb through that?
Because that's the way it works. They're personal. And
yeah,
that's not what anybody does.
And she didn't break a law.
Right.
Obama made that law before, you know, Emailgate even took place, correct?
Yes.
It's not even a law, right? It's like a guideline or something?
I think it's a law now, but it wasn't at the time that in question that we're talking yes. about with her.
Did they email their missive to Iran, by the way, these idiot traitor senator guys? Or did they just send it in a snail mail?
They released an open letter, right? That's what I heard. So I don't know. How does one do that? You put it out on Snapchat?
Right. I put a letter on Facebook and I tagged the Ayatollah.
I mean,
and all the mullahs in Iran.
I don't know how they deliver this. You know, I don't know. The headline over at the Drudge Report is. Oh, they hate her. Huma at ClintonEmail.com. Right. You know, the one of the top aides to Hillary Clinton is Huma or Uma. I don't know if the H is
Thurman.
H-able. Huma Abedin is her name.
Right.
She's the one that the real crazy lunatics on the right have said that she's a plant from the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, shit. I knew it.
And, you know, we have ties from her to her cousin to his third uncle. Who says...
What's Uma going to do one day? Stroll into work with a suicide vest on?
Well, you would think so. And that's why they're losing their shit at Drudge.
Right.
And that's why they say Huma at ClintonEmail.com, because the story is that some of the aides that she worked with are saying that Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, two of the top aides, had ClintonEmail.com addresses.
Oh, shit.
Gawker is saying that somebody else named Philippe Rhines, Clinton's top communications strategist while she was in Washington, also has shown that.
What's the connection?
I don't know. Well, you know, obviously, now they want to see those. Obviously, they're going to be screaming. We want to see those. Two of Hillary's top aides used personal email while they were employed at the State Department.
Are these Benghazi people like, and I'm just assuming all these email gay people are the same people that are into this whole Benghazi thing. Are these the same people that are like 9/11 truthers?
Benghazi and truthers? I don't know. No, because the 9/11 truthers, doesn't that come back to us?
Oh, yes, it does.
And George Bush and shit? So
the crab diving.
Yeah, they're not. No, not us. The Americans. The administration at the time, the Cheney administration, Darth Cheney.
Right.
Wasn't that the conspiracy that is a false flag? It's a false flag. Or that it was a cover-up, that it was, you know, the Saudis, and because George Bush's tongue was slithering around the inner sides of the anus of the Saudi family.
They must have practice at that. It seems that might be difficult to do.
Oh, yeah. Inner rimming.
Right.
They didn't, you know, nothing happened. There's all those stories of the, you know, how they rushed the bin Ladens out of the country, right? I mean, I don't even think that's a fake story.
Oh, yes.
I think that really happened. The relatives
happened.
of Osama somehow, when all those planes were put on hold. Somehow they managed to get one and get their asses out of the country.
Listen, I recorded an interview with a couple of 9/11 truthers while I was here in Florida.
Oh, really?
The audio is not great. Maybe it can, you know, maybe you can help me with it, but I'm going to release it on our network as long as you approve. But
9/11 truthers.
Oh my God, I have to play it for you. It's so good.
Are these comedians?
No. 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 They're 9/11 truthers. These, and they will be taken seriously.
Are these blood relatives?
No. And I'm not allowed to say. That's the other thing.
It's they're using nom de plume.
Yeah, they all want to be nom de plumed for this.
I see.
They don't want it. Their names released.
Did you run their voices through any kind of scrambling device? Do they sound like Stephen Hawking?
Yes, I did. They asked me to do that as I was interviewing them on my iPhone.
Waving it around?
Right.
So the headline, over at the Drudge, they're going to be kicking the email horse for as long as they can.
Yeah.
Now that it woke up the Benghazi bunny.
Building 7.
That's the headlines, ladies and gentlemen, the important shit. I'm just glancing at some of the other headlines over here on the, Netanyahu.
Right.
Bibi.
Hello, Bibi.
I don't disrespect the president. Hey. I love the president, but he's a fucking idiot.
that's the speech that was given.
Yeah.
Basically.
Hey,
Netanyahu, it ain't going well over there with this election coming up.
Uh-oh.
He has indicated that he thinks there's a real danger that he might lose next week's election. but
how funny.
He's batshit crazy. This is how nuts this guy is.
Did his trip to our country hurt him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they jumped all over it back in Israel. The opponents were like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Why would he do this?
They're crazy. They're batshit crazy. And I guess he inexplicably believed the orange guy. Who was like, yeah, come on over. We'll it'll be great. We'll shit on Obama. We'll make him look stupid. You'll get a bump back home for being the big hero talking the Americans into bombing Iran. And everybody will win. None of that happened.
Yeah. Wow. Is Boehner, like, really charismatic behind closed doors? I mean, is he really likable? I'm just trying to figure out how.
Drinking games.
No, do they really?
Oh, sure. Shots, quarters off of Paige's titties.
Yes. I just assume Boehner just so miserable dealing with his people in his party. I mean, not that he's like a bowl of cherries either or that great of a guy, but God.
He seems like he's got a little more personality. I mean, he's been almost amusing at times. He's not like Mitch McConnell, I mean, who is like talking to a bag of roasted nuts.
Yeah,
you'll get it. You'll get just the same response, you know.
Or someone who's been homeschooled. That's the vibe I get off him.
Just that little slight bit of social oddity to the homeschooled person.
Did you spend all day when you were 15, your mom teaching you geometry, but yet she didn't understand it?
Right.
It's made you strange.
Oh, but she understood Thessalonians 18:4.
We got a good handle on this science fiction bullshit. We're going to ram down your throat, Mitch.
So the BB is saying that there's a worldwide effort.
Worldwide.
To ensure that he loses. The world hates me.
He brought the world into this, didn't he? I mean.
Well, right. He says the world wants to divide Jerusalem and give back territory.
Oh my God, fuck you and your religion. And I, God, you know why people don't like BB is because he wants to blow up Iran. And a lot of people, listen, if you're going to be a guy that is going to dedicate yourself to the destruction of a people and a country.
Well, a second people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. How could I forget?
Wait, what is he, does he hate Palestinians?
There's
more
that little Palestinian deal, yeah.
Than there are than the Irani.
Huh. Well, I mean, right now he's got, you know, the Palestinians are being stomped on by him. So I mean, he doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't have. He claims is that's the thing is, you know, okay, yeah, terrorism is horrible, and yeah, a lot of these Palestinian terrorist fuckwads have will occasionally lob a pathetic little rocket over, and very dangerous. People get killed. It's horrible. But the Israelis responding 1,000-fold and leveling neighborhoods and killing children and subjugating that entire Gaza Strip, turning it into a fucking. I think we may have lost Ryan. Hold on 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure. We seem to have possibly lost Ryan here for a moment, but we'll get him back in a half second as soon as the Skype gods decide to allow that to happen. I'm just going to keep talking here. So Bibi Netanyahu, I think he might be back.
Hear me.
Are you back?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we lost you for a second.
Yeah, I know.
Here on the magic of Skype. So yeah, Bibi, a little worried that... he's not going to be able to. He might not be able to win and scare people.
What's he going to do with his time?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure. Well, I'm sure he'll manage.
I mean, really, if he's not going to be the leader of, you know, Israel, what's he going to do? With all that time on his hands,
I don't
is
know.
He going to? Maybe he'll write a book.
Right. I'm sure he'll come over here and run for office.
Oh, go ahead, dude. We'll put him in charge of Mississippi.
I'm sure he went to school here, right?
Oh, absolutely. He went to ITT Tech or Phoenix University online.
Yeah. He got his PhD from Phoenix University. Benjamin Netanyahu. Let's see. He's been around forever. Born in 1949 in Tel Aviv.
Right. Was he in Mayberry RFD?
He was little known that he was a child star.
Can you picture little Bibi Netanyahu and you know, doing a little tap dance, holding a lollipop?
He went. Oh, they lived here for a long time. Between 56 and 58 and 63 to 67, they lived in the United States in Pennsylvania.
Why doesn't he just move the fuck back, man?
He attended and graduated from Cheltenham High School. Was active in the debate club. To this day, he speaks fluent English with a noticeable Philadelphia accent. So that's what that is.
God.
He's got a Philly Israeli accent. Oh, and Philly attitude. That explains a lot, too.
He comes from a people that will take a car battery and throw it from the upper deck onto, like,
right.
Other people at a sports stadium. I mean, the fucking the Philadelphianese, they're just horrible. Violent.
Oh, look. He earned a degree from the MIT Sloan School of Management and concurrently studied political science at Harvard.
Wow. What a man of the people. How do you get that much schooling and then want to blow people up? Doesn't it make you the more progressive, the more you learn, the more you get
power corrupts, right? I mean,
yes. I keep forgetting that. I'm a naive little asshole over here.
And you wonder why people get into it in the first place.
Oh yeah. I don't know. It's horrible.
The way, especially politics here in America now, it's ambitious fuckwad type A, Gordon Gekko motherfuckers that are getting Harvard degrees and going, you know, politics straight to CEO. That's their
yeah.
Very few of them stay in. If they do, they're corrupt as fuck.
Would you ever, if you were going to run for office, what would you run for?
Never.
Nothing. You would never run for city council of Koreatown?
0.0.
Come on.
No.
I would be a community organizer like Barack Hussein Obama.
And then run for president.
No, that's it. Just to be
that's what he did. He used to pass out leaflets.
We are community organizers for the vast crab nation. We organize. Look at our Facebook page. There's a lot of commie pinko libs that are participating and spreading the crabs and sharing the crabs and loving the crabs. Check it out on the Facebook, by the way.
And the Twitter.
Twitter. There's all kinds of stuff going on. In fact, we've got, there was this Bobby Jindal.
Did you see Bobby.
This story? This fucking, he went batshit crazy. It's really amazing to watch the complete lunatization of this guy in order to obviously pander to the ridiculous right.
God damn it. I was just, as you're talking about him, I was just thinking about the governors in these, like Bobby Jindal, Rick Scott, man. Holy shit.
Of states that are plummeting to the bottom of the sea. I mean, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. They're all going to be underwater.
Jindal is just, he's lost his fucking mind. He really has. He remember, he was the guy who at one point was being anointed with the semen from the Koch brothers to be the next great thing.
Oh, my God.
Of the, quote, like, you know, it's kind of establishment-y, kind of not crazy Republicans.
God, I would be, if I was Bobby, I'd be like, listen, for this anointing ceremony, do we really have to use their actual semen? Can't we use something else?
Can I at least keep my eyes closed?
Or just use something similar that looks like it, you know?
I still have pink eye from the last ceremony.
Oh, yeah. Look at me. I'm a mess.
So Jindal, if you remember, his famous quote was, you know, we got to stop being the party of stupid.
Agreed. When I mean, you know.
He was talking about, like, the Todd Akins and the, who was that? Was Murdoch in Indiana, the idiot that rapes a beautiful thing if there's a baby born?
He wanted to distance himself from those right-wing nut jobs, I guess, to what? To appear more moderate?
Well, right. And then I think once his prospects of being president went down the shit can, once people, I don't know, heard him speak and stuff.
Right.
Now he's obviously decided that he ain't going to hop in the clown car to drive. But I think he's really lobbying to navigate. He wants to be vice president.
Oh, my God. I love that. I hope Bobby Jindal is able to find his way on the VP ticket for the 2016. I mean, I think that would be great. Out of the other people that we have to choose from, he might make for the most interesting quotes.
But don't you think? I mean, there's a you know, if they go for an establishment
candidate, I don't know.
Like, you know, Jeb or the loathsome Scott Walker.
Yeah. By the way, none of these, I mean, I guess, do we want our country running like any of the states that these people come from?
No, of course not.
We keep getting back to that.
I'm just saying who they're going to put up.
I don't know.
You know, as the prom king and queen.
What about Scott Walker, Bobby Jindal, 2016?
That's what I mean. Don't they try to balance a northerner with, like, a southern conservative? And now Bobby Jindal, with his bat shittery that he's been spewing recently with these no-go zones. And did you hear yesterday he said, now, Joe Biden came out with that that great statement about those 47 shitbags who wrote that moronic letter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that.
And Biden was like, you know, this is a disgrace upon the institution.
Yeah. I'm insulted by you.
And he's
been
around.
Your presence disgusts me. That's what he said.
He's been around forever. You know, I mean, he is the Senate, for fuck's sake. So it carries a little weight. And Jindal, yes, he especially, I think, called out Tom Cotton. Rightfully so. And Jindal is demanding
that Biden apologized to Cotton.
Oh, shit. What do you think? Do you think Bobby should he shouldn't hold his breath, should he?
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's a great loss to history if there wasn't tape running when somebody told Biden that.
Oh, my God. That's that is horrendous.
Wait,
that
he wants me to what?
Oh, my God. No, I'm not apologizing.
And, of course, he bravely goes after Jolt and Joe on Twitter. Jindal tweeted out, make no mistake, any Iran deal that President Obama makes is not binding on a future president. See, he's jumping on the letter. He wants to sign that letter.
But don't, that's so stupid. That's such a dumb fucking thing to say anyway. You know, we could have a president. Oh, God, he's an asshole.
Anyone thinking of running for prez on both sides should sign on to the letter to make clear that Iran is negotiating with lame duck prez.
God.
And then here's the money one. At VP Biden owes Tom Cotton an apology. He wore the boots in Iraq. He's earned our attention, not your insults.
And that's exactly why, isn't that exactly why they marched someone out there to do this? Don't you think that it's no, you know, it's no accident that Tom Cotton's a vet? Because who wants to be seen criticizing him? You know, he served, you know, he did something really honorable. He served the country, but does that mean that he gets a pass?
Well, yeah, and it's a little hard for them to say, you know, this shows the great split in the party when 47 of those fuckers signed it. It wasn't like 10 people of the Ted Cruz and that idiot brigade. It wasn't just them. 47 senators out of, 52, 53 signed it.
God.
On the Republican side, and seven didn't. Seven were like, you know, this isn't a good idea, including the guy, Corker, who has been working really hard. He's pissed off. He's been working really hard to put together kind of a bipartisan deal that would have been veto-proof because there's enough Democrats in the Senate who want to increase sanctions on Iran.
Right.
So he would have gotten it probably. And it would have been a bipartisan deal that Obama, even if he vetoed, they could have overridden. And because of these assholes doing this, it's kind of scuttled his plans because now nobody's going to take it seriously. Now it's made it even more bipartisan.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know how anyone's supposed to work with these assholes.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they act like Obama wasn't doing anything.
Oh, yeah. That's
about the Iran situation. Like, he's not fucking working on it.
Right. And, you know, a lot of these guys are saying this is almost equivalent to the Cuban Missile Crisis talks because this is a country that wants to become a nuclear power.
Nuclear.
And it could potentially destabilize the entire region, et cetera, et cetera. This isn't, you know, what do you want to have on your pizza talks? These are important. And for these assholes to play politics in that manner is just the height of shitbaggery. It really is. And
that's like calling up Cuba and say, like, you're right. It's like saying, hey, listen, I know Kennedy, you know, agreed not to, you know, bomb the living shit out of you. But, you know, as soon as he's gone, we're gonna.
Right. And it's been done in the past. You know, I mean, everybody has had parts where Congress or members of Congress have met with other world leaders and stuff like that, but nothing remotely like this and nothing.
An open letter.
Yeah, and nothing that this precarious, you know, and this delicate and this big. Because what's the option? The option is war.
It's fucking stupid.
Do you think Iran's going to go, oh, okay, well, just go ahead and bomb all of our nuclear sites. We won't do anything back.
Oh, yeah. We won't retaliate.
Right. Right. I mean, what do these people think?
They want to turn the Middle East into World War fucking III. They're worried because their president, they feel their president isn't doing anything. Just like he's not doing anything against ISIS.
Well, and those McDonnell Douglas stocks have, you know, haven't been going up enough.
Oh, yeah. Don't ever forget. I forgot that for a second. That's why they're doing this.
Remember, that's where Tom Cotton was yesterday, meeting with the lobbyists for the defense industry.
What do you think? What do you think the odds are that Tom Cotton, when he's done serving out his shitty term, he will sit, or whenever he's done with government, he'll probably be a lifer. You know what I mean? He'll be probably a lifetime politician.
Oh, there's already a hemorrhoid pillow with his name on it on many boards. Many boards.
Listen, my hemorrhoid pillow does not have my name stitched upon it. I won't make it so.
Yeah, it's just spectacular what's going on.
This is horrible.
And just the amount of disrespect of the president is, I loathed and despised George Bush with the burning fire of a thousand suns.
Oh, come on.
And I think he was the worst president, I was going to say of my lifetime, but goddamn Reagan. Mm.
Well,
okay, it's a toss-up.
Well, history proves people out. I mean, you don't know. I mean, honestly, in 10 years from now, you might look back and say, wait, actually, George Bush was worse. You know, we have some time.
Right, right.
We have some space from Reagan now.
Yeah, 10 years after Reagan, you might not have realized the extent of the damage he did by running us into that iceberg.
Yeah. Once we get all the mutant crabs, you know, come ashore from the Gulf of Mexico after Darth Cheney dumped all the oil in there. You know,
right.
Who knows what's going on at the bottom of the Gulf? It's covered in oil. That might prove to be the worst presidency ever.
Yeah, it's I don't get how he made a second term. That's the scariest part.
I don't know either, man.
But then look at where you are. I saw some footage last night of Rick Scott tap dancing about this alleged edict that came down from his Mount Olympus, and saying that, you know, if you work for the Department of Natural Resources or whatever, you can't use the words climate change,
right,
or global warming, or sea level rise.
Listen,
a whole list of shit.
I did a show last night at the Big Easy Tavern in Pensacola, Florida, and I was talking to a dude at the bar, and he thinks that there's this whole like big global cover up of what is really going on with the environment. He told me that he had a buddy that works in air quality. I don't know. Water quality, water research. And he was hired to go work for some defense contractor to study the water quality in Japan. And when he got there, they're like, no, we're putting you on air quality, not water. He goes, well, I'm a water guy. He goes, nope, you're going to study the air. Because apparently they don't want anybody actually knowing what's going on with the water surrounding Japan. Dude, all those tubes, what are they called?
Is it like the Simpsons with the three-eyed fish?
Yes. Yes. These. What is it called in a nuclear...
a nuclear meltdown?
A nuclear reactor. The rods are... All they're doing, the Japanese, are pumping water to cool the rods. And as they do that, the rods sink farther and farther and farther underground. And they can't do shit about it. They can't do anything about it. They can't get the rods out of the fucking sinkhole.
So
anyway, I was talking to this crazy drunk at the bar last night.
So what's happening? All that shit's getting in the water? All the radioactivity?
Yes. Yes. Don't eat sushi.
Well, I'm okay.
Unless you want to have unless you want your sperm, the tails on your sperm curled a little tighter.
Well, there you go.
Damn. Who cares?
It's a Japanese vasectomy.
Yes. Sound of gong.
Yeah, just go and teabag a sea turtle from that's been hanging around there or something.
Oh yeah.
I just
by the way, speaking of sea turtles, I put a story. Are you?
Yeah, that's why I said that. There's a story. Leather turtle. 500 pounds. Jesus Christ. Giant leatherback turtle they found.
Delicious. Oh my God. How many bowls of turtle soup could you make out of that?
Treated. At a South Carolina facility, I'm sure the Republicans would be against that, right?
Oh,
who's
going to
pay for that?
Welfare for that fucking turtle.
Yeah.
Damn. When did God make that turtle? I mean, you know. And how did they get on the ark?
Obama phone. What?
Right. How'd they get that turtle on the ark? It's 500 pounds. Two of them.
Well, the babies. They solved that one already. Ken Ham already told us. That's how they got the dinosaurs, too.
Oh, baby dinosaurs.
They took babies.
We will take baby versions of everything.
It's exactly
how two it Muppet babies.
I guess we're almost ready to get to take a break here. I've got one quick story here on from Right Wing Watch. Maybe I'll save it for after the break.
Because we
can make fun of all the right wing nut jobs after the break, maybe.
That sounds like fun to me.
Okay, we'll take a little break here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to play a little bit of Musica Pour Vu. And we are going to take a piss break or a beer break or a drink break or a shot or stick some heroin in your arm. Whatever the fuck turns you on.
Yes.
We're okie doke with. We are, as long as, you know, consenting adults and yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
You want to marry your dog.
If you see something, say something.
Right. We'll be back in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away. More crabs after this musical interlude that starts in a few seconds. I think this is Megan Neal. This must be the one with the longer intro. And there it is. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen.
As different as a lighthouse and a boat, you're so steadfast on your island, while I inherently float. Shining for me, hey, 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 hey. So I get to where I'm going on the currents of my wishes, and I just can't help but try in all of those.
Just say.
tired of the sea. And I am who you shine.
Okay, we may be back live. I see bars jumping and things moving, so it looks like we may be back streaming live. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry we dropped out there for a second, but if you're listening to us in podcast form, you're like, what the hell are they talking about? It just, nothing happened. Maybe we'll take the effort to delete this shit. Anyway, yes. Thanks for listening to us here on Crab Diving Live, streaming at you. Occasionally, the stream is interrupted like an old guy with prostate problems taking a piss.
God, that's the grossest fucking image.
For the most part, everything goes well here. Thanks for listening to us on the show.
For the most part, guys.
Before we took the break, both the musical break and then the forced interruption that we had, discuss us, interrupt us. We were going to get into this story here. This is the Family Research Council.
We're shitheads.
And if you know, if it says family in the title.
American Family Research Council Heritage Foundation. Go fuck yourself.
It's got to be for Jesus. Anti-gay, et cetera, et cetera. Sure enough, Family Research Council's last week.
In a world.
Craig James said that support for marriage equality.
Yes.
Is satanic.
What?
It's
satanic.
That all these people that are sending all of these friends of the court briefs to the Supreme Court that are most recently the New England Patriots, Tampa Bay Rays, San Francisco Giants. Were part of a brief that was filed, and this has them out of their minds.
Oh my God!
That these sports teams, football and baseball, are calling for marriage equality.
Right, man. I mean, come on.
So the support for this stuff, this guy Craig James said last week. That it's satanic, that obviously it's the work of Satan sticking his big red schlong into people and controlling them.
You know, I went down to the Pensacola courthouse with my mother today to pick up a copy of her marriage certificate. He's just doing stuff with the death benefits for my dad. And anyway, we were there and there was a gay couple, two guys getting married. And while we were in the building, it didn't burst into flames, and the earth didn't open up and swallow everyone into its core, and nothing happened. These two dudes got married, and they went about their fucking business.
That's crazy. You watched.
I didn't see it, but I mean, they're obviously getting married. They're taking pictures and stuff, and they were waiting to see, I guess, the justice of the peace or whoever issues the marriage license.
And no protesters, nobody throwing Bibles at them?
No, but what did happen, my mom requested a copy of her marriage certificate, and they gave her the wrong one. And we didn't realize until we were like all the way down the road. She was like, I didn't think to check, but this isn't mine.
Oops.
You got an official signed copy of somebody else's piece of paper.
Nice. Government efficiency.
Yeah, yeah. You check your work, guys. It's Florida, you know.
They should privatize it.
Oh, yeah.
It would be much better.
Oh, totally.
Then there'd certainly be no gay marriage going on.
Ooh, man. You know what? We were at the marriage section, I guess, where you get certificates and get married and all this other stuff. There was also like a criminal court window where people can, I don't know, have an appointment and talk to a clerk about their case or something.
Oh, great.
Holy shit, man. I was overhearing. And I just heard, and what's your charge? I was like, marijuana, cocaine, battery, assault. How long were you in jail? 6 years. Okay. I'm looking for it. I'm like, holy shit, man. Some people have it hard.
And they're numb. The person in the window is just numb. What a view of humanity they get, huh?
I heard this one person, this guy, he was loony. He's like, I need to come down here to ask all the status of my buddy's case. Like, oh, do you have a case number? Nah, I didn't bring that with me. Can I have last name? Yeah. What happened was he got thrown in jail, and then he's giving all these details to this clerk. This clerk has heard not one last name, not one case number.
He might have had a tiny baggie in his pocket that belonged to me.
And then he said, then this is the next thing I heard. Well, sir, I'm a clerk. I'm not a lawyer. If you wanted an answer to that, you could either ask a lawyer or you could go to the library.
Oh,
go to the library.
Does not compute.
They're behind a glass wall. So
I vote Republican. I don't go to libraries. Those are socialists.
Yeah, I don't know why we have libraries anymore. Are people even in them? I mean, really?
People do go, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you can fit the contents on a couple of junk drives.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Right. It is sad.
I like libraries.
Yeah.
Although people go hang out at bookstores all the time still. So, I mean, there's still a market.
Yeah, that to me says more to the idea that people don't value anything. Don't place any value on anything that's free. And the library is free. You can go there and you rent a book. It doesn't cost you a dime. But, you know, at, you know, Barnes & Noble or whatever, it's a place where you might actually pay to buy a book. You might go there and buy a book and read it rather than going to the library.
Right.
God, it's weird.
Capitalism.
Yay.
So this week, this guy named Matt Staver.
Oh, Staver.
Of the Liberty Council.
Oh, God.
Is now saying that they have to boycott all these teams. The San Francisco Giants, the New England Patriots. The wrongly named New England Patriots, the Tampa Bay Rays, because they have fallen under control of, quote, radical ideologues who want to literally undermine our Judeo-Christian values.
God, if you want to talk about radicals, talk about the white people in Alabama who are on the wrong side of every fucking moment of history.
Right.
Good God, guys.
How's that been going for you down there? How is being dragged, kicking, and scratching into every civil rights equality issue feel for you guys?
And don't you think like a lot of these right-wing nut job dudes, these old white guys, they're like, listen, gay people could get married, and I don't care. I just don't want it in my face, and I don't want it in my baseball and my football and my basketball. Well, guess what, dude? The party's over. It's everywhere. Deal with it.
Well, did you see what now what they're trying to do in? Because you know they're scrambling because of all these cases where the gay marriage bans are falling, even before we get to it with the Supreme Court. And the Oklahoma is now voting to get rid of marriage altogether from like a civil standpoint or something. They're going to turn marriage over to religious people.
Good God. If I can't have it, nobody can. I'm going to salt the earth.
Right. That shifts. They're voting to end marriage licenses to under legislation that would require those officiating marriage ceremonies to file certificates of marriage, but those will only be acceptable from religious types.
Right. God. So they want to blow up the whole thing. They're like, well, if we can't play by my rules, then nobody's playing.
But then somehow somebody read it differently. Like, it's worded so poorly, shock.
Yeah.
That some people are saying that it also may inadvertently just legalize gay marriage. They're just not going to call it marriage, you know, or one of these weird things.
Yeah.
They're going to transfer the issuance of marriage licenses from the state to clergy members. It was introduced by Representative Todd Russ.
So the marriage licenses will be doled out by the church, but will you still get benefits from the government for these licenses?
That's the thing. It replaces a state-issued marriage license with a clergy-issued marriage certificate. It would remove government from the practice of licensing marriage.
Yes.
The bill neither allows nor disallows same-sex marriage. So if you could find a religious person who is okay with the gay marriage, I guess it'd be, I guess it's okay. it passed the House in the state.
Right.
67-24. It's going to go on to the Senate. There's no way it's remotely constitutional. And like your point, how are those benefits going to work? You can't, I don't care if you take it away from the state and give it to clergy only. You can't, the state can't then grant rights only to those marriages that are being discriminated against.
Right. That's stupid.
They're so dumb and evil. It's really like just desperate and sad and evil.
And it's that none of their ideas are logical. God, it's the Congress. It's like if you let a dog decide things, you know, it just they don't make any sense.
Yeah, in different states, they're trying these ridiculous little laws to get around it. You know, criminalizing the issuance of the well, we're not saying it's illegal, but we're going to make it illegal to give it out or something.
You know
weird.
What these right wing nut jobs should do instead of going to work to make laws, send their pets in their place, and let's see
if they do
a better job.
just craziness. Yeah. I don't.
Dang, 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 dang.
And then come June, I don't know how they're gonna. Once the Supreme Court tosses that shit out, I really don't know how they're gonna try to support that. Are they willing to secede?
I don't know what to tell you, CD.
Over the gay marriage
hippie
issue, they weren't willing to do it in the '60s. Over, you know, letting black people get treated the same.
Right. Jesus.
They really didn't want to do it in the 1860s.
Eat me.
That didn't go well for them.
No. I just want it like the old days. I want to be able to say the N-word, make fun of gay people, and beat my wife without ridicule.
I've got a story. Follow-up, another crab-diving follow-up here.
Crab-diving follow-up.
We told you we'd keep an eye on what was going down in Texas. You remember, I think we played the tape of a kid who had recorded the morning announcements at White Oak High School, I believe it was called, or something like that, in Texas.
The oaks in my part of the country are white.
Where the principal was reading Bible verses under the guise of a thought for the day. Now it's time for our thought for the day. The Lord burned faggots in the fiery hell.
And why don't we let people, if we're going to do that, then let people unfurl some prayer rugs.
Apparently, I'm sorry, there's some sort of altercation going on here outside of Crab Diving.
Oh, shit. Studios. Is there a fight?
There's some
police?
Skateboarders that are.
Oh, God, that's
appear
kids.
To be involved in a fracas with somebody else.
With the neighbor. The neighbor doesn't like it when the skateboarders get in her yard.
I think that may be happening, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, so the Freedom from Religion Foundation sent a letter.
Yes, a missive.
To the Texas School District saying, you know, you probably shouldn't do that.
Right. You can't do this.
So, White Oak Independent School District Superintendent Michael Gilbert said that he was aware that White Oak High School principal Dan Knoll read scripture over the intercom every morning.
Awesome.
And in a blog posting, wrote, "I will not pursue any action against our high school principal or any other member of our faculty staff concerning the issue." So, in this ridiculous screed, he says, but he even admits at the beginning, recently I have been contacted by two concerned city residents of White Oak ISD and legal counsel from the Freedom from Religion Foundation. Concerning the use of scripture in the thought of the day at the high school.
What the fuck?
The residents were offended at the use of the scripture, demanding that it be stopped, calling for disciplinary action against Mr. Knoll.
Heathens.
That's when he says he's fully aware of it and he's not going after anybody.
Right.
Then he throws down this motherfucker.
He's got some balls.
The letter from the FFRF is not the first received by the district. So he says, let me be clear. This is an attempt to draw us into a contest of words with the sole purpose of giving the FFRF a large amount of free press recognition that they and their very few members, 1,200 in Texas, do not deserve. So he's saying that these people only do it for publicity.
What?
And that the two residents, doesn't he walks over that term. Two residents, two people who live there, two people whose kids are in the schools who are two being affected
that,
by this.
Yeah, that pay taxes and pay your fucking salary and shit like that. You work for them, dumbass, right?
Yeah, right.
He works for them. You're a servant. You're a civil fucking servant. And by the way, you're a principal of a school. Whatever. Quit reading goddamn Bible verses in the beginning of the day. It's actually creepy. Think about that. That's fucking creepy.
Bible studies and scriptures are allowed in schools. No, they're not. Not led by teachers, or certainly not read by the principal over the fucking announcements where the kids are held captive to sit there and listen.
Yeah, they have to sit there and be proselytized first thing in the morning.
Although, in their slight defense in those recordings, it doesn't sound like a lot of kids are listening. Right?
Oh, I doubt it.
Did you hear that recording? You can all hear all the kids talking.
They don't give a shit. They tune the fuck out. They listen. By the way, dude, the kids at this school hate you, Mr. Principal.
So
they fucking hate you.
Mako Gilbert, this shithead, this un-American fuckwad, says this theocratic Christo-fascist dominionist dick.
You're a ninny.
Says my recommended response to the FFRF is, I'm sorry you feel that way. I will be praying for you and your staff daily.
Thanks.
And then
good one.
He says, finally, now remember, this is the superintendent of public schools.
Right. Is he a mullah?
Public schools. He says, finally, as a Christian brother, both capitalized.
Right.
Apparently it's a title. I wasn't aware that there's that designation. That's a new one to me. Christian brother.
A brother.
It will not promote the values we hold so dear to assail those that disagree with the gospel. We will state our case. We will make sure our rights are just as protected as anyone else that lives in this great, great country. No, you're not. You're shitting on the rights of those residents who are saying, we don't want to hear your Jesus in our public schools.
Most residents. He's acting like this is the majority of the people really, really, really want this.
Well, they might. And that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. You're right. It doesn't matter. But nobody wants this. That's the other thing.
Oh,
nobody
they might. Really? Texas?
God, I don't know. Oh, yeah. I guess.
Jesus. That's why they vote Republican.
Oh, yeah.
They tell them shit. Obama's coming to do this to them.
Yeah. Again, why can't... When this happens, if I was president, every morning I would look on the HuffPo and like, What news stories can I just fix? What's going on that I can make go away to help people? I'd be like, this one thing. I'm just going to give this principal a call. Say, hey, it's President Barack Obama. Now,
Knock it the fuck off.
Yeah. I can't legally make you do anything. I think, actually, maybe he can. Maybe he can. He's like, you either knock it the fuck off, or I'm sending my boy Eric down there. Eric Holder. Have you heard of him? No one likes him. No one. You're not going to like him.
Well, they're going to lose. They're going to get sued, and they're going to lose. Yeah. The Supreme Court has already ruled on this shit. They can't lead
prayers
like that.
Activist bench.
Just can't.
Delator.
So it's going to cost these fuckheads money.
Yeah, you're just idiots. You're all idiots.
And what the dumbest thing is that they really don't understand how they're just shooting themselves in their fucking Christian feet.
Yes.
Because in the not too distant future, these ninnies are going to be in the minority.
Right.
And they're going to want their rights to really be protected as a minority.
Oh, my God.
As much as we non-believers want our rights to be to be protected.
Oh, just imagine the complaining that's coming in the not too near future. You know what I mean? The complaint, oh, my rights are being squashed. My rights are being abused. I can't.
It's happening now.
It is happening now. You're right. You're right. They're already complaining.
So many comics out there, cartoons, you know, and one of my favorites is the one where it's a crazy Christian with a Bible standing in front of a guy, and he's yelling, you know, repent, you're a sinner. And the guy just looks at him and he's like, you're a fornicator, you're going to hell. And the Christian's getting redder and screaming. And then finally he starts hitting the guy over the head with the Bible, like fornicator, homosexual, blah, blah, blah. And the guy pulls away and he goes, hey, stop that. And the Christian goes, you're persecuting me.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. That's right. What it is. They're losing their privilege and they can't fucking stand it.
You're going to have to play by everyone else's rules because we're getting progressive as fuck in this motherfucker.
Well, and they're realizing that this constitution that they hold so beloved applies to them.
Uh-oh.
They don't like that.
They hate it.
So
I can't do whatever the fuck I want because of my white privilege.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
So I can't wait until we hear about the further hellfire lawsuits raining down on these assholes. And now it's in writing. He put it on the from the desk of the superintendent.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Blog.
All right. What an idiot. I can't wait either.
And here's the proof of what he has to say about the comments are all really surprisingly anti him.
Awesome.
And they're on his own blog and he left them. I'm sure he'll be going through them and deleting all these, but one says, this blog post should have been titled, I'm dumb and I would like to get my district sued and lose my job.
You know, right-wing nut jobs, I don't know that blogs are for you.
Right.
I don't know how it helps you.
Here's a guy who wrote, as an atheist in Texas, we do exist, but many stay hidden because of fear of persecution. Not that it matters, because a majority does not have any bearing on the facts, nor do your opinions. Your opinion on the law has no bearing on legality. Proselytizing, preaching, reading from only one sacred tome in a public school is illegal, plain and simple.
Totes.
So he's talking about the Freedom from Religion Foundation.
Yes.
Their only agenda is that to ensure the law is followed, protecting everybody from majority religions.
Right. Loony.
Yeah.
By the way, don't forget we have a brand new daily Upper Decker tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific.
Brand new, streaming for your ear holes.
That's right.
We had a brand new Hollywood Hick also, 7 p.m.
Before that,
you'll be able to hear a rerun of the Hollywood Hick. Also now, a little change. not a little change. It's the same time slot, but we just switched the shows that are going to go on. The Hickory runs at midnight also. He runs at the sevens. But now we're putting the previous show on midnight. So if the Tuesday show is running live until Friday, you'll be able at midnight to hear the previous Friday show, too. So you'll get to hear two different Hicks.
Man, that's a good idea.
So we're mixing that shit up a little bit for y'all.
Somebody needs to give our programming director a raise. I like that idea.
Bump, double.
You need a big raise.
Double what he's making right now.
By the way, on the Daily Upper Decker tonight, they will be talking about free agent frenzy. Some story about Chris Johnson. He got shot. Wow.
Johnson. You said Johnson.
Yeah. And God, did you hear that story or see it about? I think you sent me that. That Reds prospect who
threw the brick at his girlfriend's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see that one.
Good God.
Are they going to talk about that on the Daily Upper Decker?
Yes. On the next Daily Upper Decker, Factor Fudge, The Pile.
Tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. out on the Eastern Type Coast, and then available shortly thereafter as a podcast. If you missed the last one, in fact, go to crabdiving.com, go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, and download that shit.
What's his dog's name?
Who, Tommy's?
Yeah, did we figure out the dog's name?
I don't know the dog's name, no.
Maybe he doesn't want that to go public. But every once in a while, you hear his dog in the background. It's funny.
Yeah, the dog sign of release.
No. Do not talk about my dog.
It's a little thing, right?
It's a Whippet / Chihuahua.
A Whippet / Chihuahua.
What the fuck, man? I mean, Whippets are tall.
Yeah, they are. Like tall, skinny, like Paris Hilton-y kind of looking dogs, right?
Yeah, totally.
What else is going on here? More Christian shitbaggery here. This is
Christian shitbaggery.
Students at Andrews University in Berrien Springs, Michigan.
Berrien Springs.
We're planning on holding a bake sale.
Right.
To benefit a group called Fierce Chicago, which is a relief group dedicated to providing services to LGBT homeless youth, who make up an estimated 40% of kids who are homeless in the U.S. under
18. That seems noble.
The bake sale was planned by Andrews University's unofficial Gay Straight Alliance, which boasts around 80 members. But it's not allowed to advertise on campus because Andrews University in Berrien Springs, Michigan, is affiliated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Oh, I see. Okay.
One of the students who belongs to the Gay Straight Alliance, of which they say over 80 members.
Right.
That administration knows we exist. They allow us to exist. Some of the administrators even champion the group's existence, but unfortunately, they're unable to advertise meetings or anything.
How do people know when they're meeting?
Well, they, you know, viral. They email each other or whatever. They can't advertise it, but they can word of mouth, I guess.
They can't put posters up or pass out flyers.
So they were planning on having this bake sale to benefit Fierce Chicago, but then they received an email from the student, dean of student life, saying Steve Yeagley, Y-E-A-G-L-E-Y.
Yeagley.
Saying, putting the kibosh on the bake sale.
What a dick.
I think the most helpful thing I can do is draw your attention to the fundraising policy in the student handbook. It simply states that funds may be raised for nonprofit organizations whose mission and practices do not conflict with those of the university. I think the judgment in this case is that there may be a perceived conflict between the mission and practices of Andrews University and those of Fierce Chicago. Certainly not in their effort to aid homeless youth, but in their approach to the LGBT issue at large.
Good God. This guy wants to keep homeless people from getting food?
So it's okay that they want to help the homeless kids.
Yeah.
But apparently they're not trying to turn them to Jesus at the same time. Therefore, we can't abide by fundraising for any of that. They actually teach that it's okay to be an LGBT person. We can't abide by that.
But, you know, by the way, they can just fucking starve to death. This bake sale to raise money for an organization. This is kind of strange, though, but the organization feeds homeless people.
Providing services, yeah, to homeless youth under 18.
Well, they're baking. They're baking the stuff and then selling it to get money. Why don't they just bake this food, just give it to the homeless people instead of having the bake sale?
It's not just food. It's housing and healthcare.
Oh, okay.
All services.
I was thinking about cutting out the middleman.
So this letter continues. I hope this will be helpful. If a way can be found to serve LGBT homeless youth through an organization that more fully reflects the university's mission and the stance of our denomination, which clearly calls for exhibiting compassion toward LGBT persons. Let's explore that.
Okay. Let's experiment.
So, I'm reading from Raw Story, and they say, in other words, the university would be happy to raise money for homeless youth just as long as they're straight or being served by an organization that is trying to turn them straight.
Well, I guess, God, okay, well, then give those guys the sandwiches to give to those guys. Jesus Christ, this guy's an asshole. This is an organization that helps people.
They contacted the university, and the university responded that Fierce Chicago, they don't like it because the organization's perceived advocacy stance.
Yes.
Advocacy.
Good God. Helping people.
They're not turning people gay. Nobody's turning anyone gay. They want gay people to be treated the same.
What did Jesus do in the fucking Bible? He fed people every now and then. He gave them fish or bread.
Not the gay ones. He made sure they had no cum in their mustaches before he gave them a fish.
He did no such thing.
They didn't have luminol back then. Somebody had to lick each other's mustaches to taste if it was salty. Yeah. I grossed myself out of that one. Are you still there? Mr. Ryan Pfeiffer. We may have lost Ryan Pfeiffer, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, the Skype machine, you're going to hear him probably being redialed here. You hear that little beeping. That means Skype is trying to call Ryan back. As obviously some kind of right-wing conspiracy has torpedoed our connection. Maybe it's Comcast or Time Warner or one of the anti-net neutrality fuckwad giant corporations that are trying to stifle our commie pinko liberal effete views. So that might be him back. Are you back?
Hello.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. As the obviously it was the NSA.
Right.
Or the CIA or...
or the evil cable companies. American... We've been talking about net neutrality.
Oh, that's exactly what I was just saying while you were dialing back. Weird.
Oh, really?
I was blaming Comcast and Time Warner.
Yeah.
And the anti...
They're horrible.
Net neutrality fuckwads. So, yeah, a big giant fuck you, crabby fuck you to the Andrews University in Betty and Springs, Michigan. And their,
Seventh-day Adventist. God, that's a weird one. We got to do that on a Faithless Friday at some point.
Dude, we missed the last Faithless Friday.
I know.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out what the Seventh-day... Do you know any Seventh-day Adventists?
Sure, I do. I remember this dude I lived with, his girlfriend, was a Seventh-day Adventist. And I remember... And he was, you know, into religion and all that stuff. And he's pretty serious about it. And he got, I remember when I overheard an argument with him and his girlfriend about their religion and how the Sabbath shouldn't be on Sunday. It should be on Saturday.
That's their thing, right? They do Saturday.
They were screaming at each other over this. And I was like, they were crying and like, not, I don't like God. And she was pretty attractive too. I wanted to just take my roommate aside and say, listen, just agree with her, dumbass. Just agree with her. She's fucking hot. Hey, is this, you're telling me the only thing that bothers you about her is she thinks a Sabbath is on a Saturday.
Well, how far could you handle that, though? I mean, could you handle a hot girlfriend that was trying to convert you to Jesus?
I don't know if they were converting each other. No, they both were into Jesus, but they both had this tiny little disagreement. One person thought the Sabbath was on Sunday, and the other person thought it was on Saturday. That's where their disagreement was. That's insane.
Well, it's all insane.
That's just particularly nutty. I was like, just tell her it's Saturday. What do you care? He goes, that's not what I believe. I was like, good God, dude. What's wrong with you?
That's pretty radical, though. I mean, as far as they're Christians, though, right? I mean, it's basically the same thing, except...
Oh, yeah, please. Don't be ridiculous. They're big, crazy Christians that believe the Sabbath is on fucking Saturday.
It's amazing what they fight over, the thousands of little denominations.
Listen, the Methodists don't fully submerge people when they baptize them,
right,
okay? And that is the particular reason they are all going to burn in a toasty, fiery hell.
Because they don't dunk.
Absolutely.
Full dunk.
Full dunk. Full dunk or too bad, so sad for you.
One more story here that it gets weirder and weirder.
Right.
This story broke a couple of days ago, but then there's more icing on the cake. We didn't even get to it back then. This is Arkansas.
Right.
State rep. His family adopted two girls. Did you hear about this? Then, after a little while, they decided they didn't want them anymore, and they, quote, rehomed them.
Oh, my God.
To another household where it turns out one of the girls was raped.
Oh, my God. This poor person, this poor child. Damn. Charles Dickens wouldn't write that character. That's so sad.
Yeah, it's just a bizarre fucking story. Well, now they're saying that people in the know are claiming that these Harrises gave the girls up because they believed the children could communicate telepathically and were possessed by demons.
Oh, my God. We're not screening people properly to adopt children. We're not.
Sources close to the family are disputing most of the assertions that Harris and his wife, Marcia, made at a press conference that they made last Friday. This shit's hitting the fan so much with them in Arkansas, they had to have a fucking press conference.
You think about that.
he's claiming that they were dangerous.
The kids?
Yeah.
Good God. Were they Slytherin?
There was an older sister. The Department of Human Services insisted that they take in the child if he was to adopt two younger sisters that they wanted to. The older sister was a danger to the family, ultimately was placed elsewhere. The younger sisters proved a problem. One crushed a small animal, he said.
Oh, my God.
And his older sons were sleeping with him out of fear. he said that he did seek DHS assistance before giving the children to another family. But he said he was met with only threat of child abandonment charges. Meanwhile, there's no records of him contacting DHS for this.
So he could be lying.
Now they're trying to put up legislation even to stop this rehoming. You can't just trade kids like they're fucking baseball cards.
Agreed. But, think about it. You adopt a kid, and then the first thing he does, he kills an animal.
Well, the other people are saying that's not true.
Oh, it didn't even happen.
People that know them say they're making that shit up.
Oh, these people are evil. Oh, this doesn't seem right. It's not a sweater from the Gap. It's not Home Depot. You can return anything to Home Depot, by the way. They should have returned these kids to Home Depot. They would have taken them. Swear to God, I've seen toilets that didn't look like they had not been used returned to Home Depot. Gross. Yeah, honestly, they'll take anything back. They should have tried to give these kids to Home Depot. They've been like, no problem.
There's been a bunch of witnesses, they're saying.
We'll give you store credit.
Including two foster families who cared for the girls before the Harrises adopted them. The girl's biological mother, former DHS employee familiar with the proceedings, former babysitter for the Harrises.
Right.
All these people are saying it's all bullshit. They're disputing every word of the Harrises' account of the adoption and of this subsequent rehoming.
God, that is the worst term I've ever heard. Rehoming.
When the babysitter is saying that when she cared for the kids at the home, she was alarmed at how shittily the family treated the girls. Jeanette was six when the girls arrived at the home. The middle sister, Mary, was four. Annie, the youngest, was two.
Rehoming.
Jeanette was the first to be cast out of the house.
Jesus
Christ.
She said
she posed a threat. The oldest girl was sent for treatment at a state hospital.
Good God. I mean, what are you reading from Origins of a Stripper?
Then they're saying that they had the four-year-old girl confined to her room, monitored by a video camera.
That
the wife told the babysitter, Marsha Harris, told the babysitter that the girls were demonically possessed.
Oh, God.
And that they had to keep them apart because they could communicate telepathically.
Did they have that little zigzag in their head like Harry Potter?
If they could communicate telepathically, why wouldn't separating them wouldn't make a difference? Right?
I mean, maybe they put little metal covers over their head so their brainwaves couldn't
It's line
intertwine.
Of sight, maybe.
Yeah, who knows?
They said one of the girls crushed the family's guinea pig to death.
Oh, God, that's horrible, man. That's horrible.
But they say that wasn't true.
It's a lie.
And that the family was so frightened of the children that they summoned an exorcist from Alabama.
Oh, God.
To perform a casting out. Don't they have good exorcists in Arkansas?
Fuck you. If you need a good exorcism, you call up Alabama.
They got to ship one out of Alabama.
Ding, 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 ding. Martha, I got me another out-of-town gig.
Apparently, there's an opening, some job openings in Arkansas, people.
Dude, those exorcists, they make good money. They don't fly coach.
There's a guy who does the online ones. They could have saved some money, maybe.
Oh, Skype? Oh, absolutely.
What happens if Skype kicks out in the middle of a... exorcism, though, are you fucked?
Oh yeah, you saw Ghostbusters.
Right. Don't cross the streams.
I've been slimed. That's great, Ray. It's the best movie.
The Harrises are saying there's no truth in the allegations about the exorcisms. Exorcisms and telepathy are not part of the Harrises' religious practice, they say.
Whatever.
Other foster families say that the middle girl was never violent. They never witnessed violence at all. And that the Harrises were warned multiple times that their family would not be a good fit because of the traumatic background that the girls had had, that maybe they wouldn't be the best fit. But they were like, they used their friend Cecile Blucher, a DHS official, to push the adoption through.
What did they get out of it?
Look at us. We're adopting some horrible little godless.
Oh, I see.
I don't know.
They're
maybe
pious.
They're sincere.
It sounds like their pious level is off the chain. They're pious as a motherfucker.
They're saying that the family's response to the upsetting of the family that the children brought into their home was not to go back to DHS and attempt assistance, but instead to rely on their Christian faith until things in the home finally got so bad that they moved the girls into the home of Eric and Stacy Francis. It was there that Eric raped little Mary.
Oh, my God.
And it turns out he was a serial predator who had molested other children. He is now serving a 40-year prison sentence.
Boy, I mean, I really wish... I mean, this is where your atheism hurts you. And now there's no hell for him to burn in.
True. But there's, you know, he's in jail. They don't treat child molesters too kindly in jail.
I
understand.
From what I've seen on Oz.
Right, exactly. So what a weird.
Very strange. Because,
you know, the story broke this rehoming and the rape. And then just today and yesterday, it's coming out this bullshit about the demon possessions and things like that. If that's true, first of all, in general, it's heinous. You don't just throw kids away. Like, you toss them away.
Eh.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
The love and compassion of the right, though.
Yeah, good job, guys.
How about those Christians, man?
Ugh. Oh, my God. By the way, I don't mean to change the subject, but Jesus, did you see that the crash, that Black Hawk helicopter?
In Florida?
Yeah.
I heard about that, yeah. How many?
I don't know. It says body parts have been washing ashore now.
Oh, gross.
And then the people camping there saw an explosion. You know, yes, they just crashed. Helicopters are dangerous.
Also, I don't even know where it was, but there were some reality show.
What?
That they were shooting, and it killed a bunch of, I want to say Swedish athletes or, you know, some Olympians from Europe were participating in some reality show, and their helicopter crashed and killed like 10 people or something.
Oh, my God.
Not that long ago. So I know that these guys were missing with this crash in Florida, but now they're saying body parts are gross.
Yeah. I don't think they found the helicopter yet.
Ooh, still looking.
Yep.
See, you know, we have the technology.
I know.
But they just, they'd rather spend $1 trillion on that airplane that doesn't fly.
I know. I don't get that at all. Who wants, if you had to say, like, what's the biggest drawback about that airplane? It doesn't stay airborne well. Okay.
That's kind of a downside.
When do you not go back to the drawing board and just like, okay, fuck this project? When do you not kill that baby?
Pretty significant, guys. Pretty significant.
Absolutely.
God, I don't have time for this one. We only got about a minute left here, but we'll get to tomorrow. A frequent topic on the show here, GOP Congressman Aaron Schock of Illinois.
He's my favorite.
The Downton Abbey decorated office.
What's he wearing?
Well, in the picture I'm looking at, he's got a purple suit on and he's dancing with some woman in Buenos Aires.
The Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street.
He's a professional photographer, you know, snapped a casual shot of him that he threw up on Instagram. Well, now all the shenanigans are coming out with him that now they're starting to talk about, like, well, this guy flew him somewhere on a private plane and he may not have claimed that.
I could have danced all night.
Right. So we'll talk about Aaron Schock tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, 5 to 7 live out on the Eastern Coast. You can always download us as a podcast later, either at crabdiving.com or on iTunes or on Stitcher. We're all over the social media. Go to crabdiving.com. Over there on the left is a bunch of buttons that will take you to all of our portals. Share the crabs. Love the crabs. Spread the crabs, motherfuckers.
Enjoy us.
Now don't forget to follow the very funny Mr. Ryan Pfeiffer on his Twitter account. It's at Rated R Comedy.
Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter at Vile Experience. Oh, so freaking Vile.
And the other stuff here on the network. Don't forget streams for you 24/7, crabdiving.com/live. And everything else is available also as a podcast, etc. at crabdiving.com. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow in the year of our Lord, or somebody's Lord.
Yeah,
with more of this stuff. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook. Facebook.com/crabdiving. And on Twitter and Instagram. at Crab Diving.